You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today's topic is going to be path to success in real estate. We want to interview Miss Jane Muller as our guest. And we want to this is to enlighten the listeners out there and maybe those people who are possibly considering a career in real estate, to let you know just from your personal experience what your journey was like from, you know, starting off as, you know,
brand
your humble beginnings as a brand new agent who was wet behind the ears to now that you've established yourself as a successful agent in the central New Jersey.
I mean, Ken, I have to say I often get questions from my past clients even, right? And quite a few of our past clients become agent after that.
Right.
Either they're in Florida or they're in the Carolina or here. They got a license after work with me. So, I mean, a lot of people ask, can I get a license? The other day when we had our daughter's last marching band competition, there was a lady volunteer and asked me the same thing. Say, Jane, do you think, how should I do? I'm really interested in real estate. I have a full-time job, but can I get a license to be a realtor? So this is a very common question. It really depends what you want to do in the future, right? I mean, I can just share my experience. That's, once again, is what I went through. It's very individualized. I mean, you could have a different experience. But for me, 15 years ago, and our daughter was only 2.5, right? 3 that time.
Right. So this was back in like 2009.
2009.
That's when you started.
At that time, my previous job involving a lot of traveling, always travel, always out of state. So I really want to be with our daughter. So I want to be more local. So at that time, I always have a huge interest in real estate. So I figured why not get a license to be agent and can take care of family at the same time, more flexible time, right? Boy, I was wrong.
But now when you first got your license, was your intention to do it full-time or would you think it would be like a part-time thing that you would take care of?
I thought it was like a full-time but slash flexible timing because, I mean, Ken, let's think about it. Look it back, right? I mean, I feel if the you work full-time that time, you had your law firm, right? So I figured if I have to show a house in the evening, you'll be home. On the weekend, you'll be home. But we can just during the day, I can, you know, do something. That's what I thought was like. Somehow, two of us will work it out. You know, you probably can help. And plus, she go to childcare too. So that's what my original belief, right? I could somehow make it work. But in fact, the truth is far away from what I expected. I think there's two reasons. One reason is myself. I'm the person is I can't do halfway. I have to give it all. I'm very competitive. I'm very proud of what I do. So I have to learn a lot. Being a real estate agent, there's a lot of things to learn. I remembered everything about the window guard and all the paper, all the houses. You know, you have to learn a lot. That's take a lot of time.
How did you go about, sorry to interrupt you, but just so we ask some questions about it, how did you go about learning the things that you needed to learn? Was it through on-the-job training? Was it through your broker training? Or was it a combination of what you read, what you learned on the job by trial and error, and also from going through training classes?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, Ken. And how I did was, first of all, I was very lucky. I start in one real estate agent, have a lot of seasoned agents there. They are lovely. They help me to hold my hand. I had my first mentor. And she is a fantastic, you know, she almost hold my hand. And Cindy Bloomberg, if you're listening, Cindy, I'm your grasshopper.
Well, she can check it out on YouTube.
That's right.
I think she's in Florida now, but maybe you never know.
Florida.
I don't think we broadcast quite that far, but at least she can get it.
I can cut this part and send it to her. I really owe her big time and Cindy Bloomberg. She trained me very well. And on the what I have to do and all the not basic knowledge, and that was very helpful. And then I had quite a few other agents like Dorothy Ballas and Annette Verona and, you know, mm-hmm. Barbara Prevail and so many agents, right? I can't name everybody here, but they were fantastic. They trained me, helped me, any question. I used to be asking me, how do I learn, right? If I have a question, I may ask 2-3 very seasoned agent. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they give me different answers. Mm. So, and then you have a different answer, so I have to, you know, quickly figure it out, right? But you ask them why they give you this answer. So you'll learn very quickly on the job. I still remember I had a very seasoned agent, Luisa Orlando, right? She's mm-hmm. a very nice lady. First time I was selling a house, they have a termite. When I heard termite, my face turned color. So, my God, what am I going to do? The house going to be
You perceive that the house is falling apart. But yeah. now, but after you being in the industry for 10 years or more, you realize 15. That termites is such a common thing. And it's just, you know, it might be a little area in the garage or a piece of wood. It doesn't mean the house is crumbling. Just like when you hear mold, it doesn't mean that the house is, you know, that the whole house is infested. It might be limited to one area.
That's
and
right.
Most of the time, the termites and mold and other anything you deal with in a home is treatable.
Yeah, she gave me a good lecture about that. And also through the inspection, right? I mean, sometimes the you have a 2-3 company give a quote. I always make sure I'm at the site to ask question to learn. So that's how I started with a lot of good agent and read a lot of things. Say, for example, the first time I do a listing, I don't know what to write. I print it out like... I go through the MLS first. I chose maybe 50, I think, well written. Mm-hmm. The listings.
Oh, for the remarks.
Yeah,
for the
remarks and everything, every field. I studied them, mm-hmm. so I learned that way. I'm not a fast learner. I learned the slow way.
Sure.
So after that, I understand. And most important thing for me that time can is to see as many homes as possible. So my first few years, I see so many. I have at least 5 to 8 appointments each day.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I remember I worked like 12 to 15 hours each day. It's like, you know, every single day I came home like 1-2 o'clock because I need the policy, the procedure. The, that time, they not everything online, right? You have to read in the book. There. So you read the form, you try to understand, you get home 1 or 2 o'clock because you client ask question, you have to do homework, sorry, you have to research. So, and then I go home 1 or 2 and get up 6 and then go back to office again.
Well, they said to be an expert in anything, I think it's a 10,000 hour rule. So that would, that in effect, you did that by pursuing all the time, investing all the time and studying the market and viewing all the homes. So you become an expert in the in the area of Central Jersey because you know the market inside and out from having, you know, gone through and seen thousands and thousands of homes and in all different markets. So you kind of know, you can kind of off the top of your head.
Gut feeling.
When you see a home or you go on a listing, you kind of know you have a pretty good idea down to 90-95% when you see the home, what the price
point is, the value is. So that's why, you know, a lot of work to be done up front. That's you know, once again, some agent can do it part-time, but they may sell 1-5 house a year. But if you really want to get into the business very deep, to understand, to do the 10,000 hour, which is I did in very short period of time. So obviously it's a lot of work to put it in there.
And what would you say, I know it's hard, it's probably almost impossible to quantify, but when you were a new agent for the first, from 2009 through even the first 3, 4, 5 years, the hours of work that you put in a week, you probably lost
like,
count.
I tell you, 15 to at least about at the beginning, I think it's almost a 15, you know, like 15 plus, you know, so a day, you know, I mean, that's really, I mean, even now after 15 years in the business and a top agent in
Central
Jersey,
you're still doing 7 days a week.
I still do 7 days, maybe 10 hours, 10 to 12 hours a day still. Yeah. You know, that's really, this not as bad as 12, 15 hours or at the beginning, 15 to 18 hours a day and then reduced to, you know, 12 to 15, and then now it's 10 to 12 hours a day. But there's a lot of time put it in. If an agent thinking you are very successful, you can sit there enjoying your fruit of labor, think again. Because you have to move forward with the market. You have to move forward to learn new skills, new policy, new rules, and keep update with all the home available. Until today, 15 years, right? I still see as many homes as I can on the market. Mm-hmm. So sometime on the weekend, I showed up and open houses, other people open houses, or I just, you know, view the house, have a open a broker open, whatnot. I'm always there. Why? Because you have to be there to understand the market. You know, you can't just sit in the office and think, oh, I think that house worth. You really have to be on the ground and every single day. But it's not that bad. Yeah. I enjoy what I do.
That's the thing. You enjoy it. So it's not like work or labor. No. It's considered it's fun and it's part of your, it's just your rich man and your, you enjoy it.
Yeah, think about it. If you go out with a friend, go to the shopping or go for a drink or something. For me, it's no difference. I have the open house. I talk to different people, help them out. It's really, for me, it's very enjoying.
Yeah, it's part of your socialization because you get to meet all the new buyers. You get to feel the trends, what
even
they're looking,
where
they're,
buyer,
where they're
come
coming,
back, say
where
hi.
They're coming from. You know, you get to feel you get a good flavor for the market. You know, you have a trend if you're meeting people from New York, from Brooklyn,
from everywhere,
right?
And then I talk to old agent when I ask the feedback and ask them, you know, what do you think about our house? What other house they've been seeing? What's going on? So that's, for me, it's just like part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
You got to enjoy it to be an agent. You have to be very social. You have to be willing to put in the hard work.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a short break and we'll continue right after these messages.
Seize the opportunity to lease a spacious building with private parking located in bustling downtown Jamesburg, Zone Commercial Business District, or CBD. This permitted use includes retail, office, medical, restaurant, hotels, and personal service establishments, and much more. To find out more, call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations, with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448.
You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Mueller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
All right, welcome back. So, Jane, we're going to continue talking about the path to becoming a successful realtor. And I want to go back to when you first started, because you did something that was like, you were like a trailblazer, which is indicative of your personality. I think you did the DISC test and you were considered a force of nature, because, and then you're going to laugh at this story because I'm going to remind you, when you first started, stepping back in your career, you did a lot of rentals because you were hungry. You took whatever you could get and on whatever was left over on the table. You were hungry and you still are hungry, but that's a trait that's very indicative of somebody who's successful. You're willing to take anything, no matter how big or little, just so you can learn an opportunity to, you know, grab something. And I remember with rentals, you did something that was considered very innovative at the time. You hosted open houses for rental properties in this one complex. And that was something that nobody and their mother ever did before. And your broker, I think, looked at you like you were crazy. Why would you do an open house?
Not only am I crazy. And she said I could be misunderstood and be reported as misinformed, right? Because you may trick the people to come and think it's for sale, it's for rent. So the office actually was very good. They made a special sign, huge sign, for rent.
Yeah.
For rent. So they made a big sign say for rent for me. And so there's no misunderstanding. It's for rent.
Right.
I mean, I still remember. I'm glad you talked about this like yesterday to me. I was hosting a open house in a complex. So I put a sign out there from 1 to 4. So 1 o'clock, I was out there. You know what? There's nobody came. Because nobody ever had a for rent open house that time, right? It never happened in Central Jersey. So there was nothing. So by almost 4 o'clock, I always want to cry. Mm-hmm. I stood on the street and I was going to take the sign off. I just want to cry because not anything. I just feel, how am I going to tell the owner, right? I had nothing. Yeah. I had nothing. What can I do? At that time, the guy passing by, driving by, rolled down the window, said, hey, hey, is that for rent open house? Immediately, I perked up. I said, yes, sir, it's for rent.
Oh.
So he came in. He said, oh, that was strange. We passed it about on the way somewhere. I said, isn't it for rent? And my sister-in-law said, no way. They never have for rent. You're crazy. So we just finished our business on the way back. I saw it is for rent. So I just, that's why he rolled down the window. He said, is that for rent? I said, yes. Anyway, long story short, he rented that that condo.
So
that's the first time I broke into that community. Because people see how hard I work. Yeah. I never take no as an answer. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And your marketing effort back then, you didn't have all the technology we have now with the Facebook and the Instagram and TikTok and all the postings, but you did it. There was still a way to get the effective marketing done, and that was via foot traffic, by posting, by doing flyers and you know, flyering the whole neighborhood, walking, getting a lot of exercise, going up and down the steps of all the surrounding neighborhoods saying, hey, I'm hosting an open house at this property, you know, Saturday or Sunday from 1 to 4, please stop in. Or if you have any friends or people that want to move to the area, please check it out.
That's right. That's exactly.
So it was there's always ways to get the message out there, right?
I think, Ken, even today with all this technology, right, real estate is a people business.
Absolutely.
It is absolutely people business. Yeah. You have to face-to-face. I mean, I'm working almost every weekend to see people. I mean, we said earlier in this year in the show, this Mother's Day is the only Mother's Day I didn't work in the past 15 years because I have no house for sale in April, in May that time. There was no inventory. Everything sold under contract very quickly. So this year is the only one year the Mother's Day I didn't work. So that was really, really,
Right. We always joke that your favorite days of the week are the weekends because you do open houses and the East Brunswick Day because that's the community active day. Those are your favorite events of the
year.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a people business. You basically is the ambassador for the seller. You know, you have to go and promote the home and the benefit and, you know, the advantage of this property. So you have to be out there to doing your job, the marketing, right?
Absolutely.
So that's what I enjoy the most.
Yeah. And what did you see? So you've experienced since 2009, you experienced the downturn in the market and then the upturn. And how did you handle with when the market, when it was became a buyer's market, or how did you adapt to the economic changes that you've experienced in the real estate market over the last 15 years?
I have to say to you, Ken, I start at 2009, 10, 11, 12, everybody remember what happened, right? So I started a tough market. So for me, if the market goes through the natural cycle, which is going down, you know, in the future, we don't know when, but it's just naturally they're going to go through its own cycle. We are prepared because I'm fluent with that. I start with that. It's truly just more hard work. You have to really, you know, understand the market. You have to really set right expectation from the seller. Explain to them the market, the process, the comps, right? And on top of that, work hard. You just have to work.
And even in a down market, there's always opportunities because there's buyers, investors that are looking to invest for investments when the market goes down. So you just have to, there's always opportunity for a real estate agent to be an advisor and source of knowledge for those people that are looking to invest in
Absolutely.
Something.
I mean, when you see a house, right, you have to see what's the, I always say, right, the three things good about a house, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have to, as a leasing agent, your job is to emphasize the benefit, right? You stand out from the competition. If you're a buyer agent, you have to point it out the shortcoming
of
the home because you represent a buyer. The buyers, why they hire you? Because you're more experienced, right? You don't want them halfway through the transaction and they say, you know what, it doesn't work for me. And then they waste their time, their money, and effort. And it's just, that's why you'll see when I represent buyers showing a house, I always say, you know what? This HVAC looks old, right? I think, you know, it's still working. The seller may not give you anything, but you have to be prepared, right?
Yeah.
To replacement. roughly how much?
Your job as the agent, when you represent the work with the buyers, is that you have to educate them in all the yes. potential and the pitfalls so they can make the best
informed
decision. And there are no surprises. That's the same way with commercial. You have to say, well, look, this is what the rental market is, but after the lease is expired, this is what you can expect the market rent is.
Yes.
Just like a buyer that's looking at a property for investment, you not only have to know the price, but you have to know, well, he or she will ask you, well, what is the market? Well, how much can I rent from this property?
How soon you can
what
rent?
And what are my expenses for the property taxes, if there's an HOA, whatever deductions there are, so they can figure out their net operating income and then compare that to the purchase price and get a rate of return.
That's right. So you have to be there for every step for your client. That's a long-term relationship. So far, I'm very grateful all our clients, support us for the last 15 years. They continue to support us. And because, I believe it's our standard. We always have our client best interest at heart. It doesn't matter what's good for me, not good for me, whatever good for the client is the way to go. So that's why we're always, always helping the client. So to achieve their goal, if the client thinking is not practical, I have no hesitation to tell them. I said, well, what are you looking for? What are you doing? What you're looking for? Actually, it doesn't sync together. Right. You have to point out.
Right. And that goes also because now you do a lot of listing. So how do you manage your recommendation with the list price versus what the seller's expectation? If they don't coincide, that the seller has a different expectation of what their home is worth, they might think it's worth over $700,000. And you think, well, really, the market, based on the current market, it's only worth $650,000. How do you manage the differential between the seller's expectation and what the market price, what your market price would be for a particular home?
That's a very good question. If it's so simple, like you said, that's easier. If they think 700, I think 650, that'll be easier to convince the seller, let's leave 699 and see. For $10 for seven, I'm sure you'll be okay, right? But other time, it's not so easy, right? They may bring them up to different price bracket.
Right.
So if I think the house was, like 650, they think house worth 750.
Right. If it's 100,000, maybe that's a better example. Then it's a tremendous, significant difference.
It's my job really to inform them, right? But if they really don't want to agree or they want to try it, I have to make sure is that solid number. If you want to try it, I understand. But after 1 month, there's no offer. We have to agree to price reduction.
Right.
Because that's a market talk to us already.
Right.
The market is not ready for our
number. So a good list agent will be honest and transparent with the agent, record that, maybe take a note and just say, look, I'm gonna do it your way, but let's promise me after 1 month we're gonna revisit this and we're gonna look at, if it
At the end of the day, I don't want them to promise me. I just want them to understand the reality.
See.
At the end of the day, right, if they decided if it doesn't reach their number, they don't want to sell, that's their choice. But for me, I have to make sure to explain at this market, it's not your house not worth it or worth it. It's this market not ready for what you expect. Back the last few years, right, the market went well above the seller expectations.
Right.
So, you can't stop buyer to put money in the seller pocket.
Sure.
But by the same token, when the market is going down, the buyer expectation is anticipated the market go further down. So maybe there's a gap between the seller and buyer expectation. Mm-hmm. I think in the real estate, right, managing expectation is very important. But how are you going to manage expectation unless you have a solid, data to show the seller?
Sure.
You can't just say, oh, I think it's going down, right?
Yeah.
You have to show them the trend, everything. So that's really the good conversation with the client. But number one thing is be honest with your client.
Right.
Yeah, I always, tell them what I think. At the end of the day, it's their home. They decide what to do. But sometimes, I either send them email or send them text just confirming our conversation, right? I recommend X, but if you want to do Y, that's fine. I respect your decision. But let's give a hot push on the marketing. If nothing come up, we have to revisit it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you hire me for a reason. I used to say, you hire me not because I'm pretty.
It's because you want to get the result.
Yeah.
That's right.
So a lot of time, right,
That's
we have to help the seller or buyer to understand.
Right.
Yeah.
How would you say the real estate industry has changed in the 15 years that you've been a realtor in terms of what like maybe the technology would be?
Yes.
What would come to mind is how it's changed and has it improved has it facilitated your doing business?
I think it's changed a lot, but mainly, right? I think it's harder for the new agent now because when I start, right? I mean, I knock on a door. I did a lot of door knocking. I did a lot of put a flyer on people. Can't remember you tell me don't put a flyer on people's windscreen. They can complain and sue me for that. Now a lot of town you can't do that.
Right,
you can't call anybody, and if they are do not call, you can't just knock on the door. You need a license to do so.
Correct.
That's a lot of IT,
That's facilitated the process from marketing, but like you said, it goes back to that it still is a people business. So you still can do all the technology is great, use it to your advantage, but don't forget the basics. You still, it's a people business. The open houses are still going on. So the basic the technology of people meeting people and handshaking and person-to-person contact, physically showing the house, that's all still, meat and potatoes are still there.
Exactly. So, I think the most important thing is for any success, right, you have to give back to the community. Yeah. You have to be involved to make your community better any way you can. I mean, doesn't matter how busy our business are, I always attend, the community activities, whatever we can to make the place better. And that's our agent's job to help the community, because help community support us in return. We should give back to the community, do whatever we can to make the place better.
Right, and we have about 30 seconds. What advice would you give to an owner or buyer if they're interviewing a real estate agent?
Ask them the right question. You want to hire someone you can trust. That's number one. Someone you have can able to rely on the trust. Secondly, they have to have the skill set. They have to have the same work ethic, right? And that's a combination. But sometimes it's really to do with the personality
and the connection too. Yeah. So the mindset and the skill set are all there, and then the connection. You have to feel the connection, right?
Yeah, you have to feel the connection, and you have to. You can ask them what they've done. Just make sure it's not what they've done in 10 years, right?
Right.
You have to ask them last 6 months or a year how many houses you sell, and make sure it's not the whole office. It is the person themselves, because sometimes they can say, my office or my group sold X and Y. The person itself is really important.
Very good, Jane. Thank you for sharing your path to success. We hope everyone enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.